Hello and welcome to this review of what has been so far in 2024 and what to expect in the last few weeks of the year in the world of investments, sponsored by PSG Wealth. As we approach the final stretch of 2024, it's been a year that's been full of surprises and shifts in the investment landscape. Today, I'm joined by Adrian Pask, who is the Chief Investment Officer over at PSG Wealth, and he's going to be sharing with us some insights into the unexpected resilience that we've seen in markets, particularly in the US and South Africa, despite the typical challenges of an election year. We'll also reflect on the investment decisions that have worked well this year, discuss key concerns looking ahead, and also explore why South African assets are becoming increasingly attractive for investors. So let's dive into the conversation and get a better understanding of what's shaping the market outlook as we close off 2024. My name is Budiwa Gavaza of The Business Day and Financial Mail, and I'm going to be your host for what looks to be a great reflective discussion. Now, Adrian, in what ways would you say that the markets have surprised you this year? You and I have had a number of discussions this year, preempting elections, post some of the elections, analyzing some of the movements in various markets, whether it's equities, whether it's fixed income, whether it's in SA, offshore. There's a lot that's been going on. But for yourself, what has actually surprised you?
I'm Adila. Yeah, it's been an interesting year. There's actually a lot of positive news that came out this year. And I think in general, we expected a tougher year given the elections. And typically, they lead to quieter years because everybody's waiting for new news around reforms. And there's tentative trading in the markets because typically investors adopt a wait-and-see approach. But in spite of all those things, you mentioned the US markets in your introduction, still a lot of momentum in that market, continued to accelerate. And to my earlier point, I managed to find a stat yesterday. If you look at all the election years in the US over the last 100 years, this has actually been the third best year in 100 years of elections. So it just goes to show how it sort of bucked the trend of a quieter period and how markets have just continued to rally leading up to the election and then after. So definitely US markets have surprised us. We've spoken about valuations as well, and I think that makes it even more surprising because not only have they've rallied in the face of higher valuations, which is something that's definitely a bit of a surprise. And I think elsewhere, it's been an eventful year. I mean, China continues to try and stimulate and underwhelming markets. I think both the level of stimulus that they've introduced as well as the market reaction to that stimulus has been a bit of a surprise. And then obviously also the Japanese market reaction to rate changes have been quite eventful. That's what we saw in August, and how markets reacted to that also came as a bit of a surprise as to how drastic and how swift things changed in that space.
So with everything that's been going on in all of these various markets, obviously, we are talking about investments. So one might be curious about which investment decisions actually worked in your favor this year, because for everything that happens, there's action that investment professionals such as yourselves will be taking in the market. So what's been, you know, I guess, the good on your side?
Yeah, I think on South African asset classes in general, we've been a bit more positive than most, whether it be equities, bonds, or property. You know, I think this is where our approach helped quite a bit, because typically the way we would look at it is not to just look at the risks and try and steer clear, is to really try and price that risk and understand to what extent markets have already priced in the risk. So there were plenty of reasons to say, well, there's a lot of risk around. But our take on it at the time was that the markets are pricing in an overly negative outcome. And unfortunately, the news was actually much better than what even we expected in terms of the election outcomes and what has transpired since. And there's been some reward there for us on those asset classes. And in equity specifically, the SA Inc. positions that we've spoken about before as well, those have really come back nicely. But it's off incredibly low bases. And I think even in spite of the recent relief rally that we saw, investors just feeling a little bit more relieved just to have the clarity that there isn't going to be this massively dire outcome where there's sort of this Lockheed state in the economy and markets as an effect of politicians that can't agree on things. So yeah, I think that's been a pleasant surprise and an area of our portfolios that have added quite a bit of value.
With everything that you've just spoken about, I think that SA story has probably been a really good one because there tends to be some shakiness in terms of sentiment when it comes to South Africa. But it's something that we're highlighting today, and it's something that you've highlighted earlier in the year as well, that at least SA Inc. has performed well. So definitely a positive. And I'm sure if we're going to relate that to elections, a lot of people do put some of that positivity towards how elections went in May and, subsequent government of national unity, all of that. But if we then switch over to the more pessimistic or negative side and looking ahead, what are some of the issues that for you are a cause for concern?
I think predominantly debt levels remain a huge issue, especially now subsequent to the Trump victory. I think the US continues with the strategy of just trying to pump more money into the economy, regardless of how much debt it might take, in the hope that it will be accompanied or followed by so much growth that we'll easily be able to pay off those debts. But the reality of it is, as good as the growth has been, it's been insufficient to look after the debt that managed to facilitate that whole process, and the debt levels continue to grow. So I think that's a concern. And also related to that is persistent inflation. I think markets are probably starting to come to grips with the idea that inflation might be around and not be disappearing as quickly as what we initially thought. And you can say, but typically that's not great for equities. But typically equities is actually the only place where you can effectively hide away from inflation. And inflation, it's actually very good for certain companies. If your revenues can accelerate through inflation quicker than what your costs are being inflated, then that's obviously good for margins. US market valuations remain a concern as well, although that's probably more cyclical and repetitive. I mean, markets go in and out of favor all the time, where the previous two concerns are probably more substantial ones. But I think for with the environment where we're in right now, probably the thing that worries me most is the extensive use of private markets in the US and the amount of reinvestment risk those businesses face. There's still a lot of money being pumped into that side of the market, and investors look like they are quite happy to speculate, and they're seeking out risky assets well in excess of what typical equities would exhibit. And you see speculation all around, whether it be in the cryptocurrency market. There's all new sorts of leveraged ETFs available. I think of things like MicroStrategy and what we see in that space. So it feels like there's a lot of froth in the market, and if that gets washed out, it could get messy. So I think those would be my key worries at this stage.
Adrian, maybe just as a quick follow-up to the concerns that you're raising, specifically the first one around US debt levels. A lot of pronouncements, at least from the campaign trail, from the Trump campaign to say that they're going to be working to reduce government spending as much as possible. You have pronouncements from the likes of Elon Musk, who may be the one tasked to increase efficiency, to say that they might be able to take out, $2 trillion worth of spend from the government budget, which works out to roughly a third of that government spending. But you see former Fed officials saying, no, that's not, it's not realistic. So, but from a debt point of view, is the market maybe weighing some of these pronouncements seriously to say from January, when Trump comes into office, it will affect the US's posture when it comes to debt?
I think what the market is telling us is that there will be reforms in place to promote growth, and that should be positive for earnings. But like I say, I think that the key is there, if that growth is stimulated by way of debt levels, then that becomes a problem if you can't repay the debt in the first place. So I must say that the $2 trillion does sound a bit excessive to my mind as well. We know that things don't change change very quickly in that space. We were talking about the administrative functions of various government institutions. It's difficult at times to get that done, but who knows, between Elon and Donald Trump, I think you can expect anything. So that's a bit more difficult to tell. But I think what we do know is that the debt levels are high and the funding cost is high, and it's ultimately translated into a primary a budget deficit now for a long while, which mean it is not yielding the right result that they are after. You can't run into deficits forever. And in conjunction with that, we're also sitting with current account deficits. So it looks like a precarious situation. I think there will obviously be areas where you can be more efficient and save money. But the problem is, as long as the inflation rates remains higher and interest rates as a consequence remain higher as well, the funding bill will not come down. And that debt level will ultimately just grow because you still sit with a primary deficit. So that will continue to grow. I think, debt is a funny thing. It's fine to incur more debt to try and promote growth or try to get infrastructure going that will ultimately lead to more growth. But there is a level of debt where things just become unsustainable. If too big a portion of your revenue intake from a tax perspective has to go to just covering your old debts, it becomes very difficult to keep reinvesting into the economy. So you can be as efficient as what you like. You still have to pay for your past discretions. And that's really where the challenge sits.
Yeah, most certainly. We wait to see how it's going to develop, but selling the dream versus actually achieving the dream are two completely different things. And let's see how they're actually able to execute, if at all, and how the market is going to react going forward. But maybe switching gears a little bit outside of that realm of the unknown, what asset classes are you most constructive on currently?
I think we're still quite constructive on domestic assets. I think there's still quite a bit of room. Like I say, I mean, the markets have rallied, and I think investors are expecting asset managers to a large extent take some profits and cut back a little bit. But I think we're only starting to really lean into the uptick. And if you look at really what's happened is, even though these assets have rallied, if you look at equities, for example, they've progressed quite nicely, but earnings have outpaced share prices for a long period of time, especially if you start to look at some of the banks. So this move is actually only very short term, and there's still some space to catch up. I think the market is waiting for a more sustainable evidence that the GNU will stick around. And that will come with time. I think it's realistic to expect some turbulence in that regard. I mean, no government is perfect. But at the same time, what we've seen more recently is still a lot more positive things coming out more recently. And hopefully that's set to continue. Even if it's not the case, it looks like our corporates are in reasonably good shape. They're still generating earnings, and the share prices are still low. So it can easily still continue to grow. And again, in spite of our bonds, very similar story. I mean, our bonds have rallied as well. But if you look at the US 10-year versus SA 10-year spreads, they still remain elevated, and there's still some scope to move forward. And I think in that instance, what the market is waiting for is just the continuation of rate cuts. So as those rate cuts come to pass, I think the bond market will continue to rewrite on the capital side. And even if they don't, the yields remain quite attractive. So we think it's a good space to be in. And also similarly to the long bonds, of course, listed property shares a very strong relationship with the long bond yields. So if those long bond yields continue to come down, we can expect property prices or property listed property companies to continue to recover. I mean, everybody's talking about, they've grown 50% on aggregate, and maybe that's all that they have in them. But people forget we're still trading well below where they traded before COVID. So they've really had a delayed recovery after COVID when all the other asset prices started to recover a little bit. Property remained fairly flat. So I think there's more ground to make up there, and I think that will bode well. Abroad, there's actually many markets that find themselves in a similar situation to us, where the earnings potential is not fully reflected into the ratings of the stocks. China comes to mind, although there's fairly substantial risks in that environment. Something a little bit more closer to the developed market space would be the UK. finding some opportunities there as well. So I think those would be some of the areas locally and offshore that we think that there's some opportunities.
All right. So maybe a good way for us to then round up today's discussion, Adrian, and I have a sense of what you're going to say here based on your remarks from earlier on in the discussion. And that's just around the investment landscape for South African investors, right? To say, is it now more attractive as we round up 2024 or less so than it was at the end of 2023?
Yeah, no, exactly right. I think if you look at it from a risk-adjusted return perspective, the risks have now decelerated to such an extent that even with the share price moves up, I think the prospects for better risk-adjusted returns are quite good. I think absolute returns out of South African asset classes will be quite strong. I think there will be many retail investors who would be pleasantly surprised by what will be achieved. So I'm excited for it. It's been a long time coming. And I think, you know, we've had to be a little bit more patient than what we typically like to be. But we've seen some reward, and I think that's set to continue. So I think the prospects are good, and definitely better than what they were last year. It has to be said that there were meaningful risks around, regardless of the return potential. We now, as I say, that the risks have to a large extent receded. They're not gone, but they have receded. So I think it's good from that perspective.
All right. So that's how we end off talking about the fact that the risks aren't necessarily gone, but they have indeed receded, which means people are facing lower risks, though the risks still remain. That's Adrian just ending off today's great and insightful discussion just around the investment landscape so far in 2024 and some of the things that we might expect in the new year to come. Some of the big things that we're talking about is the state of local markets versus what's going on in the rest of the world. And Adrian just pointing out that there's a lot of potential in the local market. And he says that especially on the earnings side, there's a lot of great earnings potential that's there, but that has not necessarily been factored into some of the ratings for some of the local investment classes that are out there. And he's also just also saying that there are a number of other countries around the world that are facing a similar situation to what South Africa is seeing from there. Also spent quite a bit of time just talking about what's going on in the States, that is the United States of America. They've just come out of their own election where we see a return of Donald Trump to the White House. And what does that mean going forward? One of the key risks that Adrian is talking about is the level of indebtedness that's there. And the things are good, but if there's a reliance on debt, then, you know, that's just one of those things that people definitely need to be looking out for. And then also getting a sense of some of the things that have worked out for Adrian and his team. And once again, the theme around South Africa becomes one of those things where they have been bullish, and he says it's been great for them. So that's how we end off today's discussion. It has been a great one, just talking about a review of what we've seen so far in 2024 and what to expect in the last few weeks of the year, sponsored by PSG Wealth. Thank you so much, you know, for all those great insights. We were in conversation with Adrian Pask, who is the Chief Investment Officer over at PSG Wealth. Adrian, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks, Madiwa. I appreciate your time.
And with that, I've been your host, Madiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. Remember that you can subscribe for free episodes on iono.fm, Spotify, Player.fm, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your podcasts.